Last week on Thomas and the Bible, the disciples scare a man and his wife to death for not giving all they have to the church. Then they get arrested for curing the sick. An angel sets them free, they preach, get arrested again, get flogged, and finally released for good as the Pharisees figure the whole Jesus thing will eventually blow over. The church grows, though, and the disciples add some middle managers, including Stephen, who does some miracling of his own. This gets him arrested, and for his defense, he recites the entire Old Testament. As punishment for this, the Pharisees get him stoned and he falls asleep. I mean dies. With a yawn count of 2.
All right, thanks for Kevin for that wonderful intro. We are on to Acts 8 through 10 today. So I've been reading the New International Version a lot for my book, which is coming along. I caught up. I sometimes get a little behind on it, and then I catch right up because that's how things tend to go. And now I'm all caught up for my goal. It's coming along, in case anyone's wondering. I'm very excited about it. But I am realizing that the book is an incredible amount of work for what could end up being very disappointing. So I, in terms of sales. So I was being optimistic, but I'm sticking with it. I don't care. If I spend an enormous amount of work on it and, you know, sell 50 copies, it's going to be very, very, very disappointing, but that's how it'll go. So, but I'm sticking to it because who knows, maybe people will like it and they'll buy it, but we'll see. I got worried about that as I realized just how much work I'm putting into this thing. But anyway, the NIV, I've been reading the NIV because it's just so much easier. And the New International Version is really cheating because as I'm reading, you know, King James for this podcast, it's so hard. I had no idea how much harder it is. And the NIV gives you like headings for everything. So it'll say like, it'll just have a little, you know, like a little heading that doesn't exist. I guess they put those in to help clarify or help divide it up, or, and then there'll be like the heading will be like Saul does such and such or whatever. And it gives you a better picture of when the Bible's onto a new topic or what the main thesis is, and just makes it easier to focus. And then, of course, since the NIV is written in plain language, it's very easy to follow. So I really, really did myself a disservice by doing the King James for this podcast. I mean, I've said it before, the rationale was everyone said, you know, like Dawkins and those people said it's the only version to get the full poetry of it, and I didn't want to sell the I didn't want to misrepresent the Bible. I just assumed they were right and whatever, and it is poetic at times, but boy, it is hard to understand. So having said that, let's read some difficult to understand words. Acts 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Oh, today's episode has a very hilarious theme that I can't wait to point out, so we'll see when we get there. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. So Stephen was murdered by the people, and Saul endorsed it. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. Well, there's some serious civil liberties, violations going on. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Wow, that's this guy Philip can do miracles, and he can just preach. He can go to a strange city like that, you know, that doesn't know anything about Jesus, and he could just preach to them and perform miracles, and then the people are like, oh yeah, that's 100%. It's giving us the impression like they're all Christians instantly, which makes me wonder, why wasn't Jesus able to do that? Why wasn't Jesus able to... Jesus is the actual source, yet a guy preaching about Jesus has a way easier time. So Jesus, maybe his methods were a little flawed. Who knows? And the people with one accord gave heed, like I said, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So we've got a fraudulent miracler, someone who is not a real, you know, prophet or whatever. But this is one of those times in the Bible, like back way back with Moses and the magicians who were able to reproduce like all his miracles, where the Bible just kind of essentially admits there's nothing special about the people that are supposed to be special. So the Bible is telling us here, like, yeah, there's a guy who is a sorcerer, essentially. He had powers. He was able to convince everyone that he was a prophet of God. But anyway, he wasn't the real prophet of God. Now, another person came by, and he's the real prophet of God. How do we know? Well, because he's able to do all these miracles, just like the other guy. And to him they had regard because of the long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip just comes and just, bam, converts them all. They're like, oh, Simon, the other sorcerer, is not the real guy. Then Simon himself believed also. So Philip comes up and is like, dude, don't bullshit a bullshitter. Look, I know. We both know how this works. We both do little miracles, and all the people are like, yeah, oh, yeah, he's the son of God. I get it. I got news for you. This is my new territory. So you can either go along with me or we can battle it out. But this is what's happening. And so Simon gives him his official endorsement. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they hands on him, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Which, I don't really see this as that bad of a thing. So, we've got this guy who, it was a sorcerer, he was convinced everyone that they were, you know, that he was this prophet or whatever. Then he's convinced by Philip, and he's like, oh, I'm a convert. And then he sees Philip just put his hands on someone, and that person is a believer, or receives the, the Spirit of Christ. So then Simon is like, wow, cool power, I want that. And he offers to give him money, which, big mistake, I guess. But really, like, how bad is this? If there is this power where you could just touch someone's head and they receive Christ, wouldn't you want everyone to have it, and then everyone would receive Christ, and then we'd all be Christians, and then much of the world's conflicts would go away because we all believe the same exact thing? It'd be pretty good. So I don't really get why everyone's so pissed at Simon. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And he's like, oh, so he's just saying like, oh, shoot. Okay, well, pray to God so that none of that happens to me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this so far seems like some way that gay people used to meet without fear of persecution. So it's like an indicator, like you kind of signal. It's a signaling thing. So it's like, oh, how's that Bible up there? How's it going? He's like, well, I can't expect to understand it unless some man, were to come help me with it. And Philip says, oh yeah, well, let me squeeze next to you there. Ooh, it's very tight seating in this chariot. Oh, wow. Well, anyway, it's so close quartered. I hope you don't mind. Let me help you understand what's happening here. And then they just start making out hardcore. So I think that's what really happened. But we'll go with, you know what? I'll read the Bible's version. I don't know why, because it's not what happened. My version is what happened, but I'll read it. How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he, this chariot stick shift is so big. My chariot doesn't have a stick shift. Oh, never mind. Sorry. I'm writing the gay porn in my mind. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. What I meant to say was, this chariot's an automatic. that's what it should be. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, oh, it's a eunuch? Oh, that just blew my whole plot. Never mind. Or did it? I don't know. I said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water where the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. There's some more gay stuff, I'm telling you. And Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and so that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea, and had a Caesarean section. So it's kind of weird that that's his exit. So it's like, wow, I accept Jesus Christ. And then, you know, the teacher, Philip, kind of does a wink at the camera, and then he disappears. And the guy's like, hello, where are you? And he says, I wish I knew how to quit you. No. So anyway, I found this funny because this eunuch has like a part of the scripture that's a little troublesome. He's like, I don't get this. Why is he saying this? I don't understand why Jesus is taken like a lamb to slaughter, and et cetera. And then he says, well, why don't you help me? And so the guy, it just says that next, the guy helped him. And he's like, thanks, I'm a believer now. And it's like, what about what did you say to help him through that? I don't get it. It's like if you just said, it's like if I wrote a book that was like, hey, I'm reading about astrology, but I don't get how it could be possible that all the planets, you know, and stars that are a bazillion miles away would affect anything going on here, and why people of the same month are often different and all this. I have all these problems with it. And then, you know, the book says, and so he talked him through all those problems. And then it goes back to him and he's like, I'm a believer now. Anyway, you skipped the part in the middle there where somehow you convinced him that he was, you know, that the astrology was right. I kind of need to hear that part. And Saul, this is Acts 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went up to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of his this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Keep in mind, this is Saul of Tarsus. It hasn't told us Saul of Tarsus, but it's just named Saul. But I looked it up. And he's been, jailing Christians and killing them. And, like, he was okay with that one guy they stoned, Stephen. And all of a sudden, there's a miracle. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Oh, there it is. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered and said, I have... Ananias was like, wait, so you already told him I'm going to do this? Yeah. So just go do it. It's going to be a great miracle, whatever. And he's like, well, did you ever think to ask me like how I felt about this? Or am I just have to do whatever you say? Like if you can just tell a guy, hey, Ananias, he's going to come and he's going to go all the way across town in the middle of his dinner when his wife is pretty, honestly, pretty pissed off at him for how he acted today. So it's really not a good time. If you know what I mean, Lord. So I'm at your beck and call. If you need me to go touch a guy, some random guy I don't know, and cure his blindness so that he can believe in you, then I'm just supposed to what? Just do it, and you don't even, you know, I get no say in the matter. Do you ever think how that might make me feel? The Lord said, you know what? You're right. No, none of that happened. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So this is what's so ridiculous about all this. So Saul was, like I said, one of the worst, biggest enemies of Christians. He was, you know, persecuting them and all that. And then God's just like, I can't have that. So he just shows him a miracle. And Saul's like, okay, I'm good. I'm a Christian now. And it's like, wait a minute. What about his free will? What about, oh, I thought we all had free will in order to, because that's such a great good. God can't just convince us or show us or whatever, because, you know, otherwise our free will would be violated. So that doesn't count here, or that's okay? Because what God could just do that with everybody, like me. Hey, I speak out against Christianity all the time. God, feel free to just, you know, convert me, just miracle me. Fine with me. But nope, he can't do it. And we're always told that God can't intervene because free will. I mean, he can't override people's free will. And yet he does it constantly in the Bible. So anyway, for I will shew him, I read that. Then Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. And arose and was baptized. And easy as that, done. Just, okay, God, just do that for everybody, and we wouldn't have all the trouble that we have. This is ridiculous. It is amazing how much people are able to make excuses for God all the time. Oh, well, you see, this was necessary. I'm sure they would say this. Oh, well, you know, Saul, it was necessary in order to get religion going, get Christianity going. He had to use Saul as a tool, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So that's apparently okay. So he could just do that for everybody. Why is it always just so convenient that, like, oh, well, he could do that there. Sure, this is a contradiction, but here, I have an explanation. Like, it gets very convenient. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. There you go, KJV, King James again. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither or for that intent that he might bring them bound unto chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Oh, that's so Christ, isn't it? Proving that this is very Christ. I don't know what the translation problem is there, but it's very funny. Oh, that's so Christ to do that. That is just so Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. There you go. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Bastard in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. Then the walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. Yeah, I'm just sick of this palsy. He was sick of the palsy. And he's like, I'm just tired of this palsy. Can somebody do something about this? And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole again. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And see, all he needed was a firm hand. He just didn't want to get up, really, for 8 years. He just kind of wanted, he's like, eh, tired. He just needed a firm father figure to come say, hey, dude, come on, get out of bed. He's like, okay. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. See, once again, Jesus wasn't able to convert people. Jesus himself, the very Son of God, the actual guy. But then we're meant to believe in this book. It's just like some guy does a miracle and everyone in the town is like, I'm converted. We are Christians. Like immediately. They're just robots that... Anyway. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and shewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise! And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass, when he tarried many days in Joppa, with one Simon, a tanner. So we're on to Acts 10. And once again, just miracles, and then everyone's converted, and it's really easy. I don't get why it was so hard for Jesus to do the same thing. Doesn't really make sense. All right, Acts 10, final chapter of today. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Pretty killer band. They have some good hit tunes. The Italian Band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with a Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Low blood sugar, that does tend to happen. And saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's never good. I guess it means like animals, but kill. When you have a vision, it's like kill, kill. That's not a good sign traditionally. That's probably bad. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send thee into this house and hear the words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. As he talked with him, and he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is in an... Man, this is so hard to read. Okay. Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath shewed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. Simon sells seashells by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are the witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. That's interesting. I thought he was crucified on a cross, but it says hanged on a tree. All right. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, which, by the way, the Holy Ghost is free to do at any time. At any time, the Holy Ghost can just fall on everybody and they all believe. But no, only when it suits this book. For it's like the worst plot device ever. Like, it just whenever the authors need, like, a conversion or something, they're like, ah, we'll just say the Holy Ghost, he did whatever. Yeah, okay, fine. God, such bad writing. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, and many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. All right, well, that's the end of our reading, and thank you for joining me. And I'd like to say thank you so much. Most of all, this podcast, of course, is brought to you by my patrons. That's who even created this. This would not exist. Well, I guess I created it, but this podcast would not continue if it weren't for my lovely patrons. If you'd like to count yourself among them, go to patreon.com/TandTheB. Support the show. Very simple. I got a new patron, Seth L. Thank you so much for pledging, Seth. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. And, of course, I got to thank my all-time greats, John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Sarah McPike, Japan Dan, Katie, Stacey Swaney, George Green, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gareford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Heriberto. An honorable mention goes to Rob. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very kindly, my fine friends, for your pledges. And with that said, I will see you next week for another exciting episode of Whenever the Holy Ghost Feels Like Converting Someone, It Can, Otherwise You're Screwed. That's what it should be called. All right.